So tomorrow, we do start a new year. And we know that right now there are many people making resolutions that will be forgotten in a matter of weeks. Beyond that, we don't really know what this new year is going to bring, except it will bring change. And it's impossible really to predict what kind of change it will bring. The whole predicting what's going to happen thing has pretty much a bad track record for everybody. Back in 1995, American scientist Clifford Stoll wrote an article that was in Newsweek magazine, which he said this. He said, the internet, quote, is grossly oversold. Within 2 or 3 years, people will shrug and say, yeah, it was a fad of the early 90s, and now, oh yeah, it still exists, but hey, I've got a life to lead and work to do. I don't have time to waste online. He went on to say that people won't bother prowling around the World Wide Web because there is so little of value there. Yeah, that's a great prediction, isn't it? I looked at ESPN's preseason predictions of how the National Football League season would go. They predicted that the New York Giants and the Oakland Raiders would both win their divisions. The Raiders are in last place, and the Giants have won a grand total of 2 games this year. They're awful. Meanwhile, do you know how many people predicted that the Los Angeles Rams and Jacksonville Jaguars would be really good and would win their divisions? No one. Zero. Nobody saw that coming. No one can predict what's going to happen in the coming year. We have no idea what surprises this year might hold. CBS News carried a story in August about a woman named Mary Grams who lives in Alberta, Canada. 13 years ago, she was engaged to be married. One day she was out working in her garden, and somehow in the process of redoing the garden, her engagement ring fell off and got lost. And they searched and they searched and could not find it. Was lost. Well, earlier this year, her daughter-in-law was working in that same garden and pulled up a carrot, and that engagement ring that had been missing for 13 years was on that carrot. The carrot had actually grown up through it. Who would have predicted something like that? No one. So we got this year coming up and there's lots of uncertainty hanging over us. How are we to deal with that and all of the changes that are going to happen in this next year? Well, here's the premise I'm going to give for you. There's something that we need to do that you can see in Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9, that will help us deal with whatever comes in this year. And that premise is that we should live in continual awe of God. Not the obvious thing that everyone would think of, and yet living in awe of God will make the difference for us. So I'm going to read to you actually the New American Standard translation of Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. It says this, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers together all the waters of the sea as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So those verses say all the inhabitants of the world should stand in awe of God. We should be in awe of him because he is the source of everything that exists. He created everything, including us. And what's amazing is that verse says that he spoke and it was done. God just said, let it happen, and it happened. You know, technology in cars these days is pretty amazing. You know, I'm looking forward to someday I hope we can have one of those cars that can actually parallel park itself. Have you seen that? That would be really cool. But one of the things that I really like, it's, you know, pretty common, most cars now have this, is the Bluetooth technology where you can sync your phone to the car, and the car will actually call people. You know, how cool is that? You just push a button on your steering wheel and say, call Jerry. Now, it doesn't always work perfectly. You know, you go, call Jerry, and it says, calling Mary. No. But how cool it is that you can just say, call, and it calls. How often in your life do you find yourself in a situation where all you have to do is say something and it happens? More and more we're getting that technology now. I know you can get Alexa, you know, Alexa, turn the lights on, whatever. How cool is that? Wouldn't it be cool if you had, you know, I always feel like when I do that, I have lots of power, you know, call and it does it. Wouldn't it be cool if you could do that in other areas of life? Like I was thinking about just recently decorating our house for Christmas. You know, our house presents a little bit of a challenge because it's a two-story house and the eaves are 20 feet up in the air. I don't have a ladder that will reach up that high, and even if I did, Lori wouldn't let me go up there because she says she'd like me to stick around a little while. Wouldn't it be cool if I could say, let there be icicle lights on our eaves, and bam, they'd be there. Would that be cool or what? I would love that. You may have already suspected this, but I don't have that power. You don't either. God does. God said, let there be light. Bam, there was light. God said, let there be worlds, and worlds came into being. God said, let there be plants on the ground, and there were. God said, let there be creatures, and it happened. What God has created is astounding. When you think about his power, think about the universe. A recent German study has suggested that there may be 500 billion galaxies, each of those galaxies containing hundreds of millions of stars. Unbelievable. Astronomers tell us the edge of the observable universe at this point is 45 billion light years away. That's so vast, we can't even imagine it. In fact, right now, Voyager 1, which was launched back in the 1970s, is still heading out. It has actually left our solar system. It's heading out into space, 37,000 miles an hour. At 37,000 miles an hour, do you know how long it will take to reach not the edge of the universe, but the edge of just our galaxy? You know how long that will take? 400 million years. At 37,000 miles an hour. Just our galaxy. The universe is enormous. God said, let it be. And there it is. Okay, thanks, Al. So God's power should create awe in us. But there's lots of other aspects of his character that should create awe. You know, I think about his sovereignty. The fact that he is moving and controlling in history. You know, when you think about the fact that hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ was born, he had prophets say, here's what's going to happen, and it all happened. And God is working, shaping history. He's got the power, the sovereignty to do that. We should be in awe of his incredible love. He loves us unconditionally so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for us. He gives us his grace. All of these things, we should be in awe of his holiness and his goodness. An infinity of reasons we should stand in awe of him. Now, here's the thing. Author and counselor Paul Tripp points out that we, all of us, human beings, were created to live with awe. There's something about human beings that demands, we need to have awe of something. And when we aren't living in awe, we go looking for it. And so we have to have it, so we try to find cheap substitutes for the real thing, the awe of the truly amazing and the truly awesome, and that's the Almighty God. And we find these things that will give us like an awe buzz for a few moments, but it fades because they're not really awesome. And it leaves us wanting more. Psalm 33 says the most important thing we can do as we journey through the highs and lows of this coming year is to live in awe of God. Now, you might be at this point saying, well, I don't see how that's going to help me much. Well, let me talk about that for a few minutes. We need to understand that awe of God is powerful in its effect on us. Let me point out a few things. First of all, awe of God can produce peace. Psalm 91:1 says, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So notice how it describes God there. He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. And he says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 5, it goes on and it says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. arrows people are shooting at me? I paraphrase the old classic movie, Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Arrows? I don't got to fear no stinking arrows. You know, he says, and when we are resting in the Almighty God, we don't have to live with fear. We can be at peace. The problem for us is that if we're afraid of something, or if we're worried about something, or anxious about something, we don't rest. We're not at peace. Author Mark Buchanan, in his book, The Rest of God, tells a story of how he and his wife used to, on hot summer nights, go down in their basement and sleep in their basement because it was cooler down there. And they did that until they discovered a family of snakes living in the basement. And he said, once we found those snakes, we did not sleep in the basement anymore because we couldn't rest there because we were fearful of, we had dreams of snakes crawling on us. So this passage tells us when we live in awe of God, we can be at peace. Now, there's one fly in that ointment. We want that to mean that nothing bad can ever happen to us. But here's the reality. We live in a broken world where there is going to be pain and hurt for all of us. And to think that I'm going to be able to go through this life with nothing bad ever happening to me would be about the same as hoping that I can dive into the ocean and not get wet. If you're going to be in the ocean, you're going to get wet. If you're going to be in this world, there's going to be difficulties. Well, what does that psalm mean? Well, that psalm means that God is looking out for your good. And he's going to see to it that nothing is ever going to truly harm your soul. A lot of the Old Testament is physical pictures that are intended to tell us spiritual truth. And so sometimes we see these pictures that are of physical safety and fail to realize he's talking about spiritual reality and being safe. It's raising our eyes to another level, to the spiritual realm where we are safe and protected by God at all times. And that anything that might happen that might be difficult or painful in this world, actually God is still going to use for our own good. The whole thing makes me remember another old movie, ancient movie now, The Karate Kid. Remember the Karate Kid story? You know, Daniel moves with his single mother from, you know, New Jersey to California, and he finds himself being on the outside socially, and then he runs afoul of this group of bullies who are karate experts, you know, and he's threatened by them. And one day he's about to get beat up by them when this older man that he has befriended, Mr. Miyagi, suddenly shows up and rescues him with this flurry of unbelievable karate moves, drives all those bullies away. And so Daniel says, Mr. Miyagi, I want you to teach me karate. And so Mr. Miyagi says, okay. And so then he has him, you know, mow the lawn and whitewash the fence and wash and wax his car. And he does all these chores and he grows increasingly upset because he's supposed to be helping him learn karate. Instead, all he's doing is making him work and do all his chores for him. And finally he says, Mr. Miyagi, I want to learn karate. Why don't you teach me karate? And he says, ah, Daniel-san, I've been teaching you karate. Wax on, wax off. All the time he was teaching him, even though he wasn't aware of it. God is a lot better than Mr. Miyagi. The stuff going on in our lives, we're saying, why are you letting this happen? Why aren't you looking out for me? And God's going, wax on, wax off. I'm taking care of you. And being in awe of God, remembering that reality, causes us to relax, be at peace and rest, no matter what may come. Awe of God produces hope. In Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2, David wrote, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. You know what? There were a bunch of occasions. We've studied the life of David. We know there were a bunch of occasions in David's life when he could have written those words. Because on multiple occasions, he was surrounded by enemies. In fact, there was, at one point, we all know that the king and all of the government's resources were bent towards killing David. And people were saying, yeah, God's not going to deliver him. And yet, in verses 3 and 4 in that psalm, David wrote, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call to the Lord, and he answers me from his high mountain. The fact that David wrote those words proves what he said. He was able to write those words because even though everything was arrayed against him, even though the odds were stacked heavily against him, even though people said there's no hope for him, David survived. And when you read his story, you'll see there was one occasion after another where the most bizarre things happened, where God protected him. And ultimately, David became the king himself. Because God was, in fact, a shield around him. When we live in awe of God, we are reminded that no situation we ever face is hopeless. If God is there, there's always hope because God can accomplish anything. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So as we enter 2018 and you look forward and you see maybe the possibility of some things happening that are going to be, you'd say, how are we ever going to deal with this? If God is in it, there's always hope. Did you watch the Super Bowl last February? Lori and I watched it. You know, I thought going into that New England was going to win that game easily. And Atlanta came out and just blitzed New England off the field early in the game. Went ahead 21-0. Got into the third. Midway through the third quarter, Atlanta was ahead 28-3. And it was over. Lori said, Rick, why don't we just turn this off to blow out? Because, well, you know, New England looked hopeless. Atlanta was just running all over them. And I was about to turn it off and I said, you know, with Tom Brady, you never can tell. Let's just watch one more series. And do you remember what happened? Yeah. New England goes down and they scored. And they scored again. They scored again. And amazingly, they came back and tied that game and won it in overtime. And I remember thinking, yeah, with Tom Brady, you never can tell what's going to happen. You know what? God's way better than Tom Brady. He's better than Mr. Miyagi. He's better than Tom Brady, too. Tom Brady can't do the impossible. He can do amazing things on a football field, but God's not limited to a football field, and he's not limited to what's possible. He can do anything. And so there is never a moment in our lives, because we walk with God, there's never a moment in our lives when we are hopeless. Living in awe of who God is gives us hope. Thirdly, awe of God causes us to be able to actually serve God with joy. Let me explain this. You know, we had a few weeks ago, we had the once a month potluck and Bible study group had a gift exchange. You know, the typical thing where everybody gets a number and you know, when it's your turn, you can choose any of the gifts that people have brought, or you can steal what somebody else already has. So we did that. And so when my turn came, I chose this gift that hadn't been opened. And I opened it up, and it was a great gift. It was a gift card to Regal Cinemas. I thought, oh, great, we can go to the movies. This is cool. Love this gift. Well, you know what happens when you have a cool gift? Yes, somebody stole it, and I said, you know what? You steal that gift, and you're going to likely show up as a sermon illustration. I wasn't kidding, you know. So they stole it, but that's okay. You know what? I went, and I picked up another gift that looked kind of like the packaging was similar, and I got it, and sure enough, it was another Regal gift card. It was great. I got the gift. God was looking out for me. And then somebody stole that one. And I ended up opening a present that was some kitchen hot pads and towels. And when I did that, I mean, that's an okay gift, but for me, it's like, yeah. And Lori started laughing. And she laughed so hard, so long, literally tears were coming out of her eyes. You know, she was just... And And you know what? What happens to me when I'm around her and she's laughing like that? I started laughing like that too. And the next thing you know, the two of us sitting there just gasping for breath. We're laughing so hard, and everybody else in the group was going, well, it was kind of funny, but it wasn't that funny, you know? You know what? I am amazed at my wife. That kind of thing happens all the time with her. She's so full of joy, so full of life. I am literally in awe of her. She's the best person I know. You know what that does to me? It makes serving her really easy. I love doing things for her. You know, we're going to bed at night, and this happens two or three times a week. We're going to bed, and I've already gotten in bed, and all of a sudden she's about ready to get in bed, and she goes, oh, I left my book downstairs. She loves to read before she goes to sleep, and she often leaves her book downstairs. So I'll go get it. I jump out of bed. She goes, no, I'll get it. You're already in bed. No, I'll go get it, because I love to serve her. I love to do things for her because she's so awesome. Well, guess what? If we really think he's awesome, when he tells us to obey him, it won't be a problem. We'll be happy to do it. We'll be eager to do it. So we can serve God joyfully. This is really the engine of the Christian life. You know, where do you get the motivation to obey God and live as a Christian? You get it from awe of him. When we are in awe of him, we'll be happy to live that life. But here's another thing that's amazing. Awe of God produces wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wait, so like we're supposed to be afraid of God? Not that kind of fear. When I was in college, I had a roommate one year. He was a great guy, big guy. He's a football player. He's very intelligent and a great sense of humor. Loved this guy. His name was Brian. He was a very gregarious guy, but there was this girl that he had a crush on. This girl was really cute, and he had this big crush on her. And I knew this girl, and I knew that she'd be kind of interested in him if he'd ask her out. But we would be, on several occasions, we'd be in the same place as this girl, and I tried to get him to go talk to her, and he wouldn't do it. He was afraid of her. He wasn't afraid that she was going to beat him up. She wasn't, oh no, she's so intimidating. He just felt bashful in her presence because he thought, she's so amazing. I'm not deserving of her, you know, and she's not going to be interested in me. And he had that kind of fear of her. It was so bad one time I finally said, you know what, Brian, I've had enough of this. I called her and I said, you know what, my roommate, Brian, you know Brian. She said, yeah, I love him. He's a neat guy. I said, I bet you'd really enjoy going out with him, wouldn't you? And she said, yeah, I would. I said, well, okay, how about if I put him on the phone and have him talk to you right now and he'll ask you out? She said, that'd be great. Brian was hiding in the closet. I had to literally drag him out of the closet. So his fear wasn't cowering before her in abject terror. And that's not what the fear of the Lord is either. It's saying, he is so amazing. I'm undeserving, and I can't believe he'd care about me, but it's amazing that he does. That's the kind of fear that the fear of the Lord is like. But here's the amazing thing about that. This is the awe that we're talking about. This says that awe of God, that fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. It's where wisdom starts. If you don't have that awe of God, what are you going to lack? You're going to lack wisdom. You're not going to have it. Wisdom, well, what does that mean? Well, the Hebrew concept of wisdom is really the ability to master life. That's what wisdom was. The ability to make choices that produce a life that is healthy and full and at peace and full of joy. All of that, that's what wisdom produces. And it starts with awe of God. Now, there's other things I could point out. Awe of God produces greater love for other people, deeper relationships, joy. All of these things come from being in awe of God. So clearly, all of us are going to say, yeah, I want that. I want to live in awe of God and have that. But there's a problem for us. And our culture, we are not a people that typically does awe very well. In fact, the truth is we're not in awe of much of anything. And we actually have this paradoxical quality these days because in our culture today, everything is awesome. You know, you go to a table at a restaurant, you're expecting to have to wait for a table, and you get a table much sooner than you thought, and you say, oh, that's awesome. No, it's not. It's just good. We have sort of inflation here. But the interesting paradox about that is we call so many things awesome, but we don't actually live in awe of anything. When have you been in awe of something? Have you thought about that? Awe is more than just saying, oh yeah, that's really cool, or that's awesome. It's way deeper than that, isn't it? I thought about some occasions and moments of my life that have provoked awe. Many years ago, Lori and I took our kids to Washington, D.C. And we saw all the sights there, and they're very inspiring. But there was one moment of that visit that it was kind of unusual that really sticks in my mind. We went to Arlington Cemetery, and we went to see the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I don't know if you've ever seen that. You probably have, and so you'll know what I'm talking about. We were there on a cold, windy November day and late in the day, and it was really chilly. And so we gathered, and we're there in the little viewing area where they have for the changing of the guard. That is a really solemn occasion, isn't it? It's absolute quiet. You watch those guards go through their routine. And I remember noticing one of the things, one of these guards, his nose was running, and he didn't do a thing about it. It just ran because he's doing his thing. But the thing that I realized is here's all these people watching this, and nobody's talking. Complete silence. Everybody's humbled because they know in this moment, what we're watching represents something that is sacred to everyone. Nobody's laughing. Nobody's joking. The sacredness of the moment produced awe. When it was over and the crowd dispersed, people weren't talking when they walked away. Nobody was saying anything. Nobody was going, oh, that was awesome. It's way deeper than that. It's so deep, it's deeper than words. The sacred can produce a sense of awe. The holy. Power can produce awe. The last time Lori and I visited Michael and Carissa when they were living in Mississippi, we were there for a weekend and we all drove down, but on the weekend we drove down to Pensacola, Florida. Which is the home base of the Blue Angels. And we went the weekend that they have the Pensacola Air Show, which is a unique thing. We get to watch the Blue Angels perform on the beach. So you're sitting right on the beach and watching the Blue Angels fly by right over the water there. It's a really cool thing. And I remember one part of their show, we were watching, they had a four-plane set, and they were doing some amazing maneuvers. You go, wow, that is so cool. And they were way up in the sky, and then they flew kind of back behind us, behind the beach this way. And as we're watching up, all of a sudden, they shocked us with a lone solo jet came flying by out here in front of us at wavetop height in full afterburners. And, you know, you're just like this, look at those planes, and all of a sudden, boom, this jet comes by, and it's so loud, you can feel it in your gut. I mean, it's just like unbelievable. The power of that is astounding. And you know what? Nobody says, oh, that's awesome. what happened is everybody goes, oh, that's so cool. That was awesome. And it's way deeper than, oh yeah, that was awesome. You're just blown away by it. A number of years ago, Lori and I were on vacation in Maui. And one night we were driving back to the place we were staying. It was this beautiful night. It was a full moon out. As we're driving along, we actually had the song How Great Is Our God was playing on the sound system in the car. We're driving along, and with one vista opened up, you could just see the ocean and the full moon just low on the horizon down there, and it was reflected on the water. You could see the moon light just all reflecting the water. It was aiming right at us. It was so beautiful that both of us just got choked up. The beauty of it caused us to be in awe. In July of 2017, this year, we held our second granddaughter for the first time. In that moment, the wonder of it just is overwhelming. Get choked up. We weren't just saying, oh, this is awesome. Nice baby, you know. It's just, oh, so beautiful. Beauty, wonder, power, the holy, sacred, these things produce awe, and it's not something you manufacture. It's not something you pretend to go, okay, yeah, I'm going to be in awe of that. It just overwhelms you. So the question is, how do we have that kind of response to God? You can't manufacture it. Ultimately, the answer is experience God as he is. When we actually see him for who he is, it will create that kind of awe. But there are some things that we can do that can help us experience more of that awe. And I want to suggest some things you can do. First thing is to start by asking God for more awe. In Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19, Paul prayed this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. In other words, he's saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart, well, wait a minute, my eyes doesn't have heart. It's got chambers, you know, it's got valves, it's got muscle, no eyes. He's saying, I pray that in your heart of hearts, you might see something. You might see God's incomparably great power. You might see the hope that he has given to you, his grace that caused that to be there, the riches of inheritance. And when you see that in your heart, that's going to open up your heart to awe of him. Paul prayed for people that that would happen. You know what? That's a prayer I think God will answer. And we should pray that for one another, and we should pray that for ourselves. Don't you think God wants to answer that prayer? If you say, God, I want you to open up the eyes of my heart, cause me to be more in awe of you, God will answer that prayer. Pray that every day. I think you'll see that you'll begin experiencing more awe of God. Second thing we can do is just remember God's works. Psalm 105, verse 5 commands us, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has pronounced. A critical factor in having ever deeper awe of God is just remembering and contemplating what he has done, especially the work that he did in sending Jesus Christ into this world. Christ dying on the cross, bringing us grace that is unconditional, that is just limitless, poured out on us every day of our lives. You know, every now and then in my years in ministry, I've encountered Christians who seem determined to try to make themselves holy. And they're going to work hard at it. And they usually, you'll talk a lot about accountability and all these things. And they usually have some methodology, here are the things we're going to do to make us holy. The problem with all of that is it's all about human effort. And as with all such approaches, it has some failings. And one is that it tends to focus on trivial things. It tends to focus on outward things that we can do. And secondly, it doesn't set us free. It tends to make us more judgmental. What we need is to focus more and more and be more and more in awe of God's amazing grace. The more we're stunned by His grace in our lives, the more humble we're going to be, the more gentle we're going to be, and as we've already seen, the more motivated we're going to be to do what God wants us to do. That all comes from awe of Him. So we remember what He has done for us. Never forget how God has worked, not only in the past, you know, in the Bible, but even in our own lives. Every now and then I think of how God actually acted to bring Lori and me together. We're actually kind of a not obvious couple, you know, and we missed going our separate ways by the narrowest of margins. And what kept us from going our separate ways was an amazing act of God. I mean, it's just astounding, literally, when I think back on what happened there. And when I reflect on that, I think, my goodness, God has worked in my life in amazing ways. And the more we remember those things and count on those kinds of things, all of you have had God work in your life in those ways, the more in awe of Him we're going to be. Another one that we can do is take time to appreciate His work and His beauty around us. You know, have you ever wondered, you read the Psalms and you think, how was it that this one guy was able to write so many of these beautiful Psalms about who God is and about His wonder and His awe of God? Well, a part of it was that David spent a large part of his early life tending sheep out in the fields, living out in the wilderness, and he saw God's creation right before him. You know, what we see are freeways and buildings and computers and man-made stuff, and we somehow lose touch with the wonder that God has laid out around us. I think one of the things that can really help us is just say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down to the beach and stand there and watch the sunset. And you'll be blown away. Have you seen some of the sunsets we've had over the last few weeks? Spectacular. This morning, the sunrise, according to Lori, I didn't see it. And it was glorious. You know what? We need to take time to stop and look at those things and say, those kinds of things, say, look at the beauty that God has created, creates that sense of awe of Him. Here's another thing you do. Look for God at work around you. Francois Fenelon said that if we will start looking for God around us, we will see Him everywhere at work. And that's absolutely true. Lori and I have noticed an interesting thing that we've had in the last, actually this past year, this experience. Got to the place where we need to buy a new car, and so we start thinking about, well, how about this type of car? As it turned out, we bought a Nissan Rogue, and we thought, maybe we should buy a Nissan Rogue, you know? You know what happens when you do that? You start noticing everywhere you go, Nissan Rogues. You see them all over the place. Oh, there's a Rogue. You know, oh, there's another one, you know? Never had noticed them before, but all of a sudden you begin noticing this car all over the place. Why is that? Well, they were always there. We just didn't notice them. It's when you tune into that frequency, you start seeing it. And when you start saying, I want to see what God is doing, I know God is at work in the circumstances around me, and I'm going to tune into that frequency, you will be amazed. You will see Him at work. Sometimes in ways that you just go, that is just hilarious. That is astounding what God is doing. I've mentioned this before. We had the one this year that just I stand just astounded by was our daughter-in-law, Anna, really, really wanted to be able to be at home taking care of Ella. This is before Kara, our second granddaughter, was born. And she had to work. She had to go to work every day, and it was just killing her. And we really wanted her to be able to be at home with her granddaughter. But it just, you know, she had to work because Toby is in medical school. He's not making any money, and they had to survive, you know. And it's just so hard. Well, so then she got pregnant, and halfway through the pregnancy, all of a sudden it became a high-risk pregnancy, and they said, you're going to have to have bed rest. You've got to stay at home. They were very concerned about, we don't know that this pregnancy, the baby's going to survive here. There was big concern about all of that. So we were praying all about that, and oh, God, what's going to happen? Well, the irony is, the baby was born, Kara was born just fine. She's very healthy. We're very thankful for that. But in those last few months, while Anna had to stay home, she worked from home. And she did such a good job that her boss ended up saying, you know what? You just stay at home. You can work from home forever, as far as I care. We'd been praying, God, make some way for her to be able to stay at home. I never would have thought, how about a high-risk pregnancy, you know? Who would have come up with that? God does. He's working in amazing ways in our world. If you just open your eyes and start looking for them. And the more you see him, the more you're going to be in awe of him. One more thing that you can do that will help you with awe of God. That's what we're doing this morning. Praise God with his people. Listen to what the Psalms say. Psalm 35:18 says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs, I will praise you. Psalm 40, verse 9 says, I will praise your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. Psalm 68:26 says, praise the Lord in the great congregation. Psalm 111, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Over and over again, praise God in the congregation, in the assembly, with other. Why is that? Robin Dunbar, a psychologist at Oxford University, says that when we sing with other people, it produces what he calls a massive hit of endorphins. You know, you hear about endorphins. Oh, yeah, you exercise, you get the endorphins, it makes you feel good. I've never had that happen with exercising. But here's an amazing thing. This guy says when we sing in a group of people like we do here on Sunday morning, it produces endorphins. And you know what endorphins do? They give you a sense of well-being. They make you feel better about life. And furthermore, Dunbar says, there's something else it does. It creates a bond between you and the people you're singing with. God says, I want you all to get together and sing praises to me because just the act of singing praises reminds you of the truth and lifts up your minds to me, sets your mind on things above, causes you to be more in awe of me. But in the process, it gives you endorphins that make you feel better, actually boosts your immune system, makes you healthier, and bonds you to the people you're with, which makes life even better. So God says, praise the Lord with other people because it's good for you and it creates awe of God. As you enter 2018, you know, you may be concerned about a whole host of things. Some things may be disturbing your peace. The best thing that you can do is focus your attention on God. Live in awe of him. Remember his great works. Remember his grace for you. Watch for him at work. Remember you have hope. Remember he's there protecting you with his power. Be in awe of him and trust in him. And that will allow you to live in peace, to experience joy, and to live confidently as we approach this new year. So let's do that. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that with the uncertainty of life, which is really something we recognize that we face every day of our lives, not just coming into a new year, but every day is uncertain for us. Anything can happen anytime, and we know that. What a great reminder it is for us that you are the powerful God, a loving God, a God of grace, a God who does wonders. We sang it, a God of wonders. Help us to live in awe of who you are. Help us to view every single incident, every single episode of our lives, every single day of our lives in this coming year through the lens of being in awe of you. For we know that is when we will truly experience peace and joy and wisdom and fulfillment to the max. We thank you, Father. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.